Well, welcome to Healing School on this last Thursday in January. My, this month has flown by already. Time just keeps getting quicker and quicker the more I age. I want to share with you this morning some things that I've gone through in the last several weeks and some of the ways the Lord has talked to me and encouraged me. And so it's a little out of my comfort zone, but I really feel like this is what He wants me to do. And the title of what I'm going to be talking about today is Whining and Giving In or Moving Forward. Whining and Giving In or Moving Forward. And that's really what I was faced with here recently. We moved back to Macon in 2013, so almost 10 years back here in Macon. And I have been blessed and am so thankful to say these have been some of the healthiest years I have lived in my life. Fewer colds, just little things, and nothing major. A couple of times something tried to stick its head up and the Lord quickly moved it to the wayside. A number of things I've been believing for have manifested, but there are a number that I continue to believe. And one of the things that I had been believing for, and I'd only shared it with a couple of people, including Pastor Robert and a couple of others, was a small umbilical hernia that I developed years ago that never gave me any problems. I just didn't want it there. It wasn't of God, and I just believed it would go away. Well, we've been building a house this year, and it came time here last part of the year to get ready to move. And so you can imagine I was doing and lifting some things that a man my age probably should not have done. But we're hard-headed that way, aren't we, John, sometime? And thankfully, during that time, I didn't feel anything. And then I woke up one morning, and I'll just kind of, this was on the, I wanted you to understand the timeline. We moved on the 21st, which was a Wednesday, and on the 28th, I woke up that morning having not lifted anything at all, hardly the day before. And I got up because people were coming to the house to start the finished work that didn't get done. And there was something not right. I was quiet about it. I went ahead and got dressed and came out and told BJ, this umbilical hernia has stuck its head up. Actually, it wasn't that, but you understand what I'm saying. And so it kind of hit me out of the blue with no anticipation. And I had great peace, but it wasn't right and it was painful. And so I prayed and confessed, and it continued to get worse. And it got to a point where, and I was at such peace during this, I should say, I knew by the peace I was in that I just needed to go on and get it checked. So I walked out and told BJ, you're going to stay here, and I'm going to the emergency room. Well, I don't think she was real thrilled with that. But we had all those people coming, so I wanted to go ahead and do that. She quickly called my sister and said, who's a nurse, and said, would you go down there and check on him? So I went to the ER. They checked. They admitted me in there, put me in a room, checked it out, and agreed that there was an issue that needed to be resolved. And so during that couple of hours I was up that morning, you can imagine the thoughts that were coming. How can you stand up and teach Healing School and this goes on? And you know, we don't get any special grace just because we teach Healing School that keeps us healthy. We have to believe for it just like everyone else. And I had. Was I disappointed? Yeah, I could feel some disappointment that this thing had happened. Partly because, if I'm honest, BJ had been telling me for years, you ought to at least get it checked out. But again, John, you know how we'll be sometime. So, long story short, here I am, bang, and then I'm going to the hospital, and I'm sitting there in the room by myself, and all these thoughts are coming, and I just had the realization from the Lord, What you do in this time is going to determine the course of what happens, what comes out of my mouth. And so I begin declaring, there is there now for no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. I refused the thoughts of the negative things that could happen if it didn't resolve quickly, and all those thoughts. And Patricia walked in, and I think it was probably the first words that I spoke to you that day. And so here I am doing something, looking at a situation that I had totally unanticipated. It hit me out of the blue. And then I've got to make a decision. Am I going to feel sorry for myself? Am I going to be ashamed of it? Am I going to be embarrassed because I couldn't believe for it? Or am I just going to continue to say, the Lord is my healer, and everything's going to be okay? And then he quickened a verse to me, and it's in Isaiah 58, talking about your healing springing forth speedily. And so that began to be my confession, because I knew if this thing didn't get resolved, I was probably looking at some surgery. Well, let's just fast forward quickly so I can get to the scripture. Later that day, they were able to resolve it, but my surgeon came in and said, I'm not going to operate on you today, but I want you in my office a week. So a week later, I saw him, and 3 weeks ago today, I had surgery to fix that thing. I woke up the next morning. Again, my belief was speeding forth. My healing would come forth speedily. And I went to roll out of the bed, and I couldn't. It had been a long time since I had hurt with pain like that. So just continued on. And so I had that choice of either giving in or staying firm in what I believed. And so I just begin to confess, you're good, only good comes from you, and I'm just going to stay right there. Now, with that, the Lord began to minister to me that my body was important to him. And so I want to share some scriptures with you along that vein. But then, while all that was going on, I still knew and experienced the great love that he had for me. So a few days later, he told me to go to Philippians 4th chapter. And I shared some of this at church Sunday, so some of you may hear it again. But Philippians 4, the first verse. And if I said turn to Philippians 4, there's probably 3 or 4 other verses, more than that you would think about. 6-8, talking about praying and giving thanks in all things as we pray. What we should look at right after that. I think it's verse 10 that talks about being content in all things. Verse 13 is, I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. And then Philippians 4:19. And so I could have told you all those verses, but this one I had not meditated like that. So it says, therefore, my beloved and longed for brethren, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, beloved. Now, I want to break that down. Therefore, so we're looking, what has been said? Well, in the two previous verses of chapter 3, the last two, 20 and 21, he's talking about our citizenship being in heaven, and that we're going to be conformed to the body of his glory. And so that began to ring a chord with me. But how many of you, and I'm getting ahead of myself, but how many of you, when things come against you sometime, you know Jesus is coming back, and it's all of a sudden, come quickly, Lord Jesus. I mean, when we're in trouble, when we're fighting things physically, that tends to be sometimes where our heart begins to gravitate to. So it's important to understand, I think, what had just been talked about. And then he says, my beloved and longed for brethren. Now, you would say, but this is Paul writing to the Philippians, and I know it is, but it is the Holy Spirit imparting to Paul what to write so that for you and I it can be what? Personal today. So do you see yourself as the beloved and longed for brethren by our Lord Jesus? Now, He longs for that time when we're all together in heaven, just like we do. But yet the patience of the Father says, let's gather in all those that we can. And by the way, while we're gathering them in, let's live victoriously. You know, in John, the 16th chapter, the 14th verse, the Holy Spirit is, Jesus is talking about the Holy Spirit, and He said, the Holy Spirit's going to glorify Me, and He's going to take of Mine and give it to you. I believe this is what's happening in this verse, that the Holy Spirit had Paul write this so that we could see the heart of our Father, the heart of our Savior, and the heart of the person of the Holy Spirit, how they feel about you and I. So, therefore, my beloved and longed for brethren. And then He calls us His joy and His crown. So I would ask again, do we see ourselves as His joy and as His crown? You know, revelations concerning the crown, in chapter 19, verse 12, says, on His head is many crowns. And when you take that verse with this one, you can see how He just sees us as a crown. I mean, it's just, that's His love for us. That's His heart, His desire. And it just makes me just love Him more and appreciate more what He's done. And again, that He would long for us to be in His presence. Now, if you don't see yourself that way, you need to go back and read Zephaniah 3:17. Because it says, the Father sings over you. Now, let's just pause a minute. Can you imagine being in heaven? And I don't know how it would be announced, but it's, everyone be quiet. The Father is about to rejoice over Robert Stumpf. Can you imagine that voice coming forward? Can you imagine Him doing that over you? Robert can, because he's up there smiling right now. That's the love that He wants for us. So then He adds to that, therefore, my beloved and longed for brethren, my joy and my crown, so stand fast in the Lord. In other words, don't let the things that you're going to face in this earth move you whatsoever. And then how does He close that? By calling you again, beloved. That just blesses me. He starts a verse calling me loved, and He ends calling you and I the beloved of the Lord. That in itself ought to encourage us. So the thing I want you to see is as you read, and we're not going to go through Philippians 4 anymore, but as you read through Philippians 4, I want you to begin to see that this verse sets the tone for the whole rest of the chapter, because what He's doing in the rest of that chapter is giving us some clues as to how we can stand fast in the Lord. But to do that, we've got to know how He truly feels about us, and that's what this verse reveals. For me, that was a real revelation, and it encouraged me in a time when we needed it. You know, when we stay under His love, we stay under His protection. Look at Colossians 3:3 with me. I think Miss Mary's got it, and I'll put it on the screen for us. It basically says, we have died, and our life is hidden. And I want you to see how it's hidden. With Christ, in God. Now, when I see that, I see we've got two levels of protection there in the Father, not just under His wing, but also being hidden with Christ. And again, when this revelation comes to us, then I think it gives us the ability to stand more when these attacks kind of come out of left field against you. So let me stop and just say, how could I have viewed my body? I could have loathed it. I didn't like my body as a child and as a teenager, because with my dad as a coach, my lack of speed, And some other things kept me from really performing in athletics as high a level as I had desired to. So I didn't have a lot of respect and love even for my body. How many of you would say, have said, don't raise your hands, I just don't love my body? Or talking about your body, I can't, and you just fill in the blanks. And there's a plethora of things that I could put in there. And so we're constantly downing that body. And then we get mad in it, like in Romans 7, when we sin, when we do what we don't want to do. And yet, the Lord is showing us that He cares for this physical body that we have. Now, I'm not saying that our body is good. Our flesh is the evil part. But we're going to see the work that redemption has played with regard to that today as we get into more of what we're going to share about. So even when we're going through these things, we don't want to quit exerting dominion over our body. We don't want to start whining and giving the devil more inroads to us. We want to command our body what it's to do and how to react. So knowing one day that we'll get a new body, let's go look at 1 Corinthians 15, verses 49 we'll start with. And I just want to set some background for where we're going in this and about our body while it's here on the earth. Verse 49 says, "And just as we have borne the image of the earthy, we will also bear the image of the heavenly." Now he's talking about here in our body in this scripture. 50. "Now I say this, brethren, the flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God." In other words, there's nothing this flesh could do on its own to inherit the kingdom of God. "Nor does the perishable," which this earth is, "inherit the imperishable." 51, "Behold, I tell you a mystery," and you know these verses, but I want you to see the background. "I will tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we'll all be changed." And how will we be changed? "In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For the perishable must put on the imperishable, and this mortal must put on immortality." So we have that hope. We know what's going to happen. We're going to have a body that's going to be a glorified body like Jesus. And we're going to have that body for eternity. But we're here today. 54 concludes and says, "But when this perishable would have put on the imperishable and mortal will have put on the immortality, then will come about this saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory." In other words, no more death. No more the evil that this body tries to allow us to languish in. So the question then that we begin to ask is, when does the redemptive work that Jesus did begin to have an impact on our body? Sometimes we act like the only time it does is when we're going to be changed to His image. But that's not what we're going to see. So how do we answer that question? With Scripture. So let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And we're going to look at verses 6 through 10. And then we're also going to read verse 11. "For God said, light shall shine out of darkness." You know, I think about the book of John, Big John, first chapter, where it says that the darkness did not comprehend the light. It can't. It also can't overcome it. So that light is shining out of darkness. Now, just keep that phrase in your heart. "Light shall shine out of the darkness" is the one who has shone where? In our hearts, to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ, or in the person of Christ. So now we can begin to see what Isaiah is telling us when he says, "Arise and do what? Let your light shine." "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels," in other words, a flesh body, "so that the surpassing greatness of the power can't be about us, but it's only going to be of God." We'll be of God and not from ourselves. This says we are afflicted in every way. Now, afflicted, when you see it in New Testament and Old, normally it's talking about pressure coming. Pressure being applied to push you, to squeeze you into the earth's mold so that we feel and act and respond from our flesh only. And Paul here is talking about what's happening to him, but this is necessary to set the tone. We're afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not despairing, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, yet not destroyed. Always carrying about in the body. Now, whose body is this talking about? Paul's talking about his own body. So this is talking about carrying around in your and my body the dying of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus also may be what? Manifested in our body. So that that light of Jesus can be seen by the world and He be glorified in our body. And that's talking about today. Verse 11 just says it one more time. For we who live are constantly being delivered over to death for Jesus' sake. That doesn't mean we're going to the cross. That just means those things are of death are coming against us. So that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our mortal flesh. That just says to me, the Father's desire is for us to let the light that shone out of darkness shine out of this flesh so that God is glorified. And so that has caused me to change how I view this body that wants to sin, but that I've been given authority to command it to do and line up with the Word of God. But for me not to just long for getting out of this body and going on and having that resurrected body like Jesus does. It's allowed me to see that I can glorify God no matter what is going on in my life if I let His light shine. Now let's go back to 1 Corinthians 15. And I want to look at verse 20. And this is why I believe we can do this today. It says, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who are asleep. So Jesus was given back as a what? First fruit. That was the best of the harvest. That's what they used to present at the temple. But what is a first fruit? Well, it's the first fruit of those who are asleep. So that's saying there's other fruit that's just as good that's coming after it. And that's you and I. And we became an eternal being, born again. And so that time of eternity has already begun for you and us. And so I just believe this gives us some insight that healing that we can receive in this flesh is a first fruit of the resurrection that's coming for us. Jesus is that type. That's what He did when He was on the earth. So when we see that then, I just think it gives me a hope beyond what I have seen maybe in the past that the Lord just didn't resurrect and give me a new soul, a new heart, a recreated being, made me a new being. But He also cares just as much about the total being. He cares about me, spirit, soul, and body. So everything I'm talking about now with this flesh can also apply to our soulish realm as well. So let's look at a few words from the Lord in 1 Corinthians 6. Concerning our body. Just going to set some more emphasis for it today. Such were some of you, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and in the Spirit of our God. All things are lawful for me. Now, this is where Paul is talking about some things that have pertained to food and should I eat this stuff or not. But not all things are profitable. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be mastered by anything. That's a key phrase. We need to have the attitude that there is nothing that is going to overcome us. There is nothing that we're going to allow to master us. And it begins by understanding we can cast down those thoughts when we do. Then he gets to the food part. For food is for the stomach, and the stomach is for food, but God will do away both of them. Yet the body is not for immorality, but for the Lord. And then here's the phrase that jumps out at you. And the Lord is for the body. Now that just tells me, in the midst of all this stuff talking about, is it sin to do this or that? The Lord still is showing us that he has what? An interest in our physical body. Verse 14. Now God has not only raised the Lord, but will also raise us up through his power. And then we get to verse 15. Do you not know that your bodies today, here sitting in High Point Church, are members of Christ? And the implication there is his body. This physical body is his body here on this earth. That's all of us together. Shall then I take away the members of Christ and make them members of a prostitute? May it never be. So I just want you to see here that we are part of his body today and all this future time we have. It's like our bodies are betrothed to him, awaiting for that day of resurrection. And again, it just says to me, he values our bodies, which says he must value us and the condition of these bodies today. And that's one reason I think that a lot of people don't take care of their body, because they don't understand how valuable it is to the Lord. Verse 15 also, again, shows us that redemption has value for us in the future, but we can see the value that it has for us today as well. Now go to verse 20. It just so happens I want to jump five more like we did earlier. It concludes by saying, for you have been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body. Now let's talk about that just a minute, because we're talking about healing. And so I believe that one way that we glorify God is when we learn to believe for and receive healing in this body. When Jesus walked the earth, there's scriptures that talk about what was glorified, when they glorified the Lord. And was it when people were sick and dying? No, it was what? When they would come to him and receive their healing. Let me show you two examples of several. Luke 7, verses 11 through 16, if you're taking notes. Now, we won't read all of these, but I'll skip down to a couple. Soon afterwards, he went to a city called Nain, and his disciples were going with him, accompanied by a large crowd. The next verse says, there was also, as he approached this gate, there was a dead man being carried out, the only son of the mother, and it says she was a widow. And so there's two big crowds that are coming in. But look at verse 13. When the Lord saw her. Now, we read through that a lot of times. I don't care how big a crowd you're a part of. When you've got something going on with you, the Lord sees you. Out of that crowd, he's going to notice you. And then it says he felt compassion for her. And every time in Scripture where I find Jesus describing him feeling compassion, get ready, because something big happened every time. And he told her, do not weep. And he came up and he touched the coffin, and the bearers came to a halt. And he said, young man, I say to you, arise. Verse 15, the dead man sat up. I like one translation which says the corpse sat up. And not only did it sit up, it began to speak. And Jesus gave him back to his mother. And then finally, 16, where we've been heading, fear gripped them all, and they began doing what? glorifying God because of the great raising of the dead, the healing that has happened, and they were saying, a great prophet has arisen from among us. And this last phrase, don't read through. God has visited his people. And you can say, the Lord has visited me. Because this same work is going on in you as a first fruit. We also see it in the man born by four who came in. And he was before, they laid him down through the roof right there in front of Jesus. And that's when Jesus said, your sins are forgiven. And the Pharisees just went bananas. How can you forgive sins? And then I love what Jesus said. Which is easier, to forgive sins or to tell him to get up and walk? And then he told him to get up and walk. And Scripture says this. And at once he rose up before them and took up what he had been lying on and went home glorifying God. Not only him, but 26 says, and they were seized with astonishment and began glorifying God. And they were filled with fear, saying, we have seen remarkable things today. So we just see over and over that death and sickness doesn't glorify God. And the people didn't glorify him because of it. But when healing came, then God was glorified. So let's look at a few more. 1 Corinthians 12:13. And this is a key thing that Pastor Robert really focuses on, and it is so important that we see our position today. It says, for by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free. And we were all made to drink of one Spirit. And so what I want you to see is we were quickened, we were made alive in this flesh, in the spirit that this flesh carries, into one body, which is what? His body. So we're just affirming some things we talked about. Ephesians 1:13-14. In him, oh, if you ever want to do a word study, just go through and look at those in hims that's listed there. In him, today, you also, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed with him with the Holy Spirit of promise. Now, when I read that, you know, I think about earnest money being paid. When you buy something, I'm going to give you this much down and I'm going to come back and give you the rest and take possession of it. This is really what the Lord has done. But to me, that sounds a little bit like we got one of the first fruits, doesn't it? Today. And verse 14 goes on and said, he's given as a pledge of our inheritance. Now, is he talking just about an inheritance of the future or today as well? I think it's today as well. Because he says, with a view to the redemption of God's own possession, to the praise of his glory. So I don't think it's talking just about when we go to heaven, where we're taken up or whether we die and go to heaven. It is begun today. It just over and over it says that. Let me read you 1 John 3:8. And I'm going to read it from the B part, from the Passion Translation. It says, the reason the Son of God was revealed was to undo and destroy the works of the devil. That's why Jesus came. Not just to have us in eternity, but for us to have what? Life, and life more abundantly today. And that certainly includes healing. So I just see that these just over and over give us a clue that we are partaking of the first fruits of resurrection as a glimpse of what heaven would be like. But let's begin to see how much he really values our body. Go with me to Matthew 8. And I want to start in verse 13. Jesus has had the centurion come talking about his servant, and then Jesus to the centurion says, "Go, it shall be done for you as you have believed." And the servant boy was restored to health in a very moment. So there's one. The very next verse, and when Jesus went into Peter's house, he saw his mother-in-law lying ill with a fever. And he touched her hand, and the fever left her. Another translation says he rebuked her. He judged that fever from his position of authority. And she got up and began waiting on him. So there's one, now there's two. When evening came, they brought to him many who were under the power of demons, and he drove out the spirits with a word and restored to health all who were sick. So one and two to all. And I just think that all means you and I today as well, because he never changes. Thus he fulfilled what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah. He himself, and this is from the Amplified Version, he himself took in order to carry away. And I have actually taught some of this. The Lord just brought it back to me in floods here in the past several weeks. Back in 2016. And I said when I taught it this verse, he didn't carry it just from Macon to Warner Robins or even on down the road to Valdosta. He carried it so that it is no longer visible in this realm in which we live. He took it away totally. And he took both our weaknesses and our infirmities and bore away our diseases. He took it on his own body and totally took them away. Now, Pastor Robert asked me, was I talking about anything out of Isaiah today? He's been being led to some of these same scriptures, I understand. So let's just look at three verses in Isaiah 53. And what I want you to see as we look at it, and these are familiar verses, but don't say I know that, because that just limits what the Holy Spirit can reveal to you further. But I want you to see the great love that he has for you, spirit, soul, and body. And thus he fulfilled, Isaiah 53:4. Surely our griefs, sicknesses he bore, and our sorrows, our pains he carried. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. Verse 5. He was pierced through for our transgressions. Now, I'm not pausing for effect. That's just hard to say. He was pierced through for my transgressions, for yours. He was crushed for our iniquities. The chastening for our well-being, or the chastening for our peace. Chastening implies punishment. And I think of him and all he partook of that whole evening up to that whipping post. The chastening of our peace fell upon him. And by his scourging, by the stripes, we are healed. Now to verse 10. But the Lord was pleased. And let me tell you what that really means. It was his good pleasure. It was his will to crush him to grief. Because Jesus was rendering himself as a guilt offering for you and I. And he will see his offspring. That's you. He will prolong his days, and the good pleasure of the Lord will prosper in his hand. Now, what did Jesus do? And the Bible teaches as much about it more than it does love, even. That's healing over and over. And that we don't have to wait for a resurrected body. Yes, we're going to put it aside forever. But even today, That's His desire for us. Sin and sickness have no dominion over us. Sickness has no dominion because sin, which caused it to manifest in the earth through Adam, has been done away with. Absolutely, totally. Psalm 119, verse 89. Now, I've used this verse before, and I said, I don't want you, there's some things in Scripture that we take as a promise. But I don't want you to see this, because sometimes we get the wrong idea of a promise. I want you to see it as an absolute truth. This is the way it is. And it says, forever, O Lord, Your word is settled in heaven. And then here's the amplification, which is the amplified translation. Your word stands firm as the heavens. That's the fact that Jesus took and bore away our sins and our diseases and all that anxiety and worry. So what do we say in 1 Peter 2:24? We talk about that are healed, and it gets changed to you were healed. So it is an accomplished fact for today. I want us to do two things before I close, and I'm just listening to which one we want to do first. Let's go to Proverbs 4:20, and then I'll close sharing this other with you. We started healing school here, Pastor Trey did, in July of 2015. So we're almost through with 8 years of it. And these are the verses that it was started with. I just felt like the Holy Spirit wanted us to start it year 2023 with these same verses. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your sight. Keep them in the midst of your heart. Now, let me just stop there. I heard Pastor Robert, I believe, say years ago, the portions of God's word that we act on is that part of the word that we have hidden in our heart. Now, that's a profound statement. What do we normally do? When something comes against us, we're like a rapid-fire machine gun spouting off every healing verse we can think of. But what did I say? Think of. Instead of waiting for a moment and just let the Lord give you that word for that moment. And it may not be the last one. Just like He told David one time to go straight up and take him. And the next time He said, go around back. And when you hear the rustling of the wind in the trees, then go get him. We need to just be patient enough to wait on the Lord. And then the next one says, those words are what? Life to those who find Him. Now let me stop there. In the first chapter of John, John talking about Jesus calls Him light and life. And you can interchange those two. Every time you see life, you can put light in there. And where is that light? In you. Today. Those words, these words we're reading, are light and life to us who find them. And what? Health to our body. And that is not, clearly, is not talking about a resurrected body. And then finally, verse 23. Therefore, watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life. You know, this is who we are, the healed. And I just keep going back to this verse that describing the kingdom of Jesus in Isaiah. It says, of the increase of His kingdom, there will be no end. Well, where is His kingdom? in you of the increase of His kingdom in you, there will be no end. And that includes healing if we will learn to walk in it. I am convinced that when pains come against us, He wants us to be able to listen, hear His word, speak to Him, and watch Him leave. The same with sickness. I have seen cancer leave people's body where they didn't want to do surgery on them here because it was too advanced. They sent them somewhere else. And when they got to the somewhere else, nothing. There is no reason that we ought not see that today. Now, can you pull up the last two verses in Hebrews chapter 11? I just want to share these verses with you because during these past 3 weeks, and I didn't call Trey and say, hey, you probably need to take me off on the 26th because I'm not sure what shape I'm going to be in. I was believing for healing coming forth speedily. But at the end of chapter 11, and what's this chapter about? The heroes of faith. It says, all of these, having gained approval through their faith, did not receive what was promised. They didn't get everything that they had desired because God had provided something better for us. And this is the part that I want you to see. So that apart from us, they would not be made perfect. Now, the reason I want you to see this, and let me read you two other translations of that I have been meditating on. New Living and the Passion. It says, for God had something better in mind for us. This is New Living Translation. So that they would not reach perfection without us. The Passion for this verse says, but now God has invited us to live in something better than what they had, faith's fullness. This is so they could be brought to finish perfection alongside of us. And then you go to chapter 12, if you would, Mary, the first verse. Remember, it didn't have chapter and verses in these letters. And I'm going to wait because I want you to see this. Those people that it was just talking about who didn't get all that they wanted, that's what therefore refers to. That is who is sitting watching you and I. And why it says, since we have such a great cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Do you see that they are encouraging us to walk in the fullness that they could not see so that they can now receive it? Saints, that's how important it is that we learn to walk in the fullness of everything that Jesus accomplished. And again, one of the major things we have to do that in is with our own healing. These people are pulling for you because we're all going to get to that finish line together. I don't know, that just encourages me. Now, we can take this a lot further. It says to me that some of the prayers they were praying about what they wanted to happen, we can also pray because their prayers are still alive. Revelation tells us that it comes up as a sweet aroma before the Lord. So I just want you to see that people who didn't get everything, they didn't quit, they didn't give up. They're now pulling for you and me to achieve some of the things that they couldn't so that together we're going to be brought to perfection in our Lord Jesus. Healing is for you today because He values your body. Healing of your soul is for you today because you're important to Him. And it all goes back to what? The first verse we read in Philippians. It starts with, you are the beloved, and it ends with, you're the beloved. And the Song of Solomon, I believe, says, I am His beloved, and He is mine. In that love is your protection. In that love is your healing today. Father, we just thank You. I thank You for the word that You've spoken, and I pray that it just minister to people today. Father, if anyone is here and has been fighting something, and maybe they've downed their own body, I just hope this just creates a light and life in them that they are special to You in every way today, and that You desire for us to live this life in abundance. And part of that abundance is an abundance of health, and not feel like we're just doomed. Father, I thank You that when it's our time to come to You, when we've finished our race, we can be like those who have gone before us and be brought in Your presence, never to feel the pain of this earth again. But until that time, Lord, let us glorify You in this body as we walk in the healing that Jesus provided. And it's in His precious name that I declare it. So be it. Amen.